Right. Our scripture for today is Romans 12, verse 12. And this is my New Year's recipe. And I'm speaking to you about what God has given me for my New Year's. And we've got like a little bit more than a day and a half, and then we're in 2019. And 2018 is past tense. And it's crazy. It feels like, I don't know when this year started, but it's done. It's gone. It's unreal. And then I realize that, hello, we're living, sorry, we've got some friends from up north that's visiting, and it's great to see them, family being here. And the rest of my family, my soul family and stuff. It's quite nice. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted. But I just realized that this life is one supernatural life that we are living. And I'm just realizing more and more how what I'm experiencing now and my daily living is just like a portion, like a grain of sand in this whole scheme of things. And it's just crazy. It's just amazing that God is in control and His Spirit, and so am I. And every time, like this morning when my daughter was standing next to me, I felt, this is amazing, this person standing next to me. The kingdom of heaven belongs to her. And the reason for that is she hasn't been corrupted by all the stuff that we see and know and experience and all these things. Jesus said, leave those children because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And if you don't become like a little child, you will not inherit the kingdom. And then I realized children live on a spiritual level that we don't understand quite. We've been there. And Satan has come and he's brainwashed us with life and expectancies and experiences and stuff. Completely brainwashed us into what we should be and what we ought to be and all those things. Romans 12, sorry, that's not my sermon. Romans 12, verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Before we continue, I just want to play a song. I love playing songs. And this guy, this character, he's quite a character. And he always... God really uses him to speak to my heart, and I just want to share this with you quickly.
I've worn shackles and chains. I've been freed and forgiven. Yes, I have. I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. That's why I sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, all my sins are forgiven. Oh, I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that is bracelet. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. But he picked me up, and showed me what it means to be a man. So I say, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. It's gone, yes. Oh, my sins are forgiven. Oh, I've been washed by the blood. Oh, I've been washed by the blood.
Amen. Let's go home.
Thank you.
It's just, it gets me every time. I've been washed by the blood. And I mean, the first part of this little recipe says, rejoice in hope. And the Amplified says, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast, impatient, and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength. In the Greek, it says, in hope, rejoicing. In tribulation, enduring. In prayer, persevering. What does it mean to rejoice? I get really excited when God starts working in my heart, and I'm so psyched at the moment, and I sometimes it's difficult for me to really show what's going on the inside. And that's why I love Duval so much, our pastor, because he can just lay it out there. And you know, sometimes we have this like little joke that I'm laughing to the inside. I'm laughing on the inside, and I'm probably standing like this now, and I'm laughing my backside off on the inside. But I just want to show you what rejoice in hope. I mean, I've got this little clip that I took from the internet, and these guys, it's the French, I think they defeated, I can't remember whether it was Spain or Mexico or somebody, but they defeated them. And there was this crowd of people standing, and they were watching this big screen, and the minutes were counting down, and they probably had the ball. I have no idea what goes on in football. I'd love to know, but I don't. And the minutes were counting down, and these people were counting down, all French people. And they went in one accord, and they counted it down, probably from 10 to 0. I don't understand French. And don't understand the French either, but anyway. But they were counting it down, and when that last second came and they realized they have won this game, they went ballistic. They were shouting and going crazy. They were worshiping their team. They were rejoicing. They were not sad. If you there were people crying, but rejoicing. And today I want to rejoice in this hope that I have. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is in Him. When things go bad, my hope is in Him. His hope, that the hope that He placed in me, I just want to rejoice and worship and glorify God. And sometimes this body of mine just inhibits me. And I pray to God, like I prayed for Wilhelm this morning, that God will release us, that we can be who we're supposed to be in Him. That hope that He places in us through the Holy Spirit, that will be alive in us. Marty, is that when you get there in Botswana, is it where you're going? Yes. When you get into Botswana and you're there in that Dutch Reformed Church, that you'll play that instrument of yours and glorify Jesus in the fullness of the hope that He's placed in you. Imagine what He can do through you. Now the dictionary says, it's to feel and show great joy and delight. That is what it means to rejoice. Hope. Now this is quite a winded explanation of what hope is. But if we look at this, now this is what the world says hope is, then how can there not be a God? Hope is an optimistic state of mind. Optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes. So there's an optimism. There is an expectation of a positive outcome. Maurice, that's why you came and stood here this morning. Sorry that I'm picking on you, but yes, you're large and in charge of Christ and with Christ. When you stood here for prayer, you were optimistic. You said, I'm standing here because I believe that Jesus can heal this man. You have an expectation that he will be healed. And that being healed is a positive outcome. As a verb, expect with confidence, to cherish a desire with anticipation. So hope is not something airy-fairy hanging out there. It's something that we're anticipating. It's something that we want. It's something that we need. It's something, but it can be a reality. I'm excited about this. We can only hope in Jesus, in His promises, and in Him. Now, my hope, our hope, is holding on to these promises. And I want you to think for a moment, what are the promises that Jesus has made to you these past few weeks, this past year? What are the promises that He made to you? You haven't seen them to come to fulfillment yet, but He's made these promises. Just think about those things for a moment. Anufia Sudi, hope in Jesus, we always add, is my little daughter. And for 9 years, we hoped on a promise that God gave us. For 9 years, we went through tribulation. And my wife was patient at times, and sometimes she was not, but she was constant in prayer. And then through prayer, she got hope again, because God would take her back to her Bible and she'd start reading and she'd get hope, and then the patience come again and the tribulation is still there. We can still not have children, but we carry on. And we've tried stuff, you know, we've tried in vitro, and that was the last one. We tried AI, artificial insemination, and everything. But God said, now is not the time, but there is hope. I will give you a child. And you know what? 9 years later, and there's a proof. There's a proof sitting there. There we are. She's alive. She's well. And we struggled. It was tough. We waited for 9 years. For 9 years, we said, you know what? God's made a promise. In Jesus we trust. In Him we hope. We can only believe or have faith in something that we hope for. Now that's not scripture. That's what I'm saying. And I'll confirm it with scripture. We can only believe or have faith in something that we hope for. Remember what I said earlier? I said, God gives us a promise. And that creates hope in our hearts. And only once you have the promise, you can have faith that it will come to fruition. Yes? Amen. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So without hope, it's almost impossible to have faith, because what do you have faith for if there's no hope? If there's no promise, why would you have faith? And the whole Bible is one big promise. Promise of salvation. Promise of healing. And all these things, they are all these promises, and they're all true. Have we experienced them all? No. That's why we're still hoping, and that's why we have faith. Amen. In John 14, Jesus speaks to his disciples about going away. And he said to them, I'm going away to prepare for you, for us, a place in heaven where my Father is, where there are many rooms. He's given us that promise. I'm going away, but I'm not going to stay. I'm coming back. But while I'm away, I will leave a helper in my place. So now we have God with us, the Holy Spirit. And that's a promise, he said. And the people had hope that that will happen. And it did happen. Because of that hope, that promise, they endured, they had faith, and God delivered. And now we still have that promise of the Holy Spirit. And if you feel alone, if you feel, you know what, I can't do this on my own, the Holy Spirit is there. That promise is there. And if you have hope in the promise, then you will have faith, and you will receive that promise. Okay? Another example is where Jesus was hanging on the cross between two murderers. And the one murderer shouted at him and said, why don't you just, you know, get yourself off this cross? You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're God. Why don't you just get yourself off this cross? The other one said, hey, dude, what are you doing? Well, not like that. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, what are you doing? This is a living God. Can't you see that? Don't you realize that he has no blame, no guilt? We're here because we're supposed to be here. We deserve this. But he's without blame, without guilt. And he asked Jesus, he says, please remember me when you get into your kingdom. When you get into your kingdom, please just remember this guy next to you. And Jesus said, his words were, I don't want to paraphrase this. Let me just get there. And he said to him, This is Luke 23, verse 43. I don't think it's on there. And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus made a promise, an expectation. And he created hope from a living God into a murderer heart. And he said, "You know what? The fact that you're asking me means that you want to live a life worthy of Christ." And you know what? Even in an instant, we call on the name of the Lord, his promises become yes and amen. And in that last moment, that last moment of this guy, I mean, he had maybe an hour, 2 hours hanging there, then he'll be dead. But Jesus gave him a promise and it created hope in his heart. And today, that murderer, who is now a son of the living God, has received his promise. It's so much greater than us. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Now, to be patient in tribulation, patience is to be able to accept problems of suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Do we have patience? I'm just going to read it again. It's able to accept problems, to accept suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. God, teach me patience. Please teach me patience. We get so annoyed so easily. We get so anxious so easily. Someone once said, anxiety is planning a future without God. Because you absolutely don't have hope. And if we think of all the times we get annoyed, let's just put anxiousness to one side for a moment. We get annoyed with things. Are we being true to God's scripture? Are we living according to the promise that he's given us? He's given us this hope. He's given us a promise. He said, in all of this, when you suffer, you need to be patient. Just be patient. And I'm really praying that God makes us patient in these times. And for anxiety, the only answer to an anxiety is the hope of Jesus Christ. Because in him, there is a future. Why do we get anxious? Because we don't know what the future holds. We get anxious. You get that anxious heart and you go, "Oh, what's going to happen?" Because it's an unknown. There's something that we cannot understand. There's something that's blocking us. Yes, Satan wants to cut off any ties that we have with Christ. He wants to take away all hope. He makes our hearts race. He makes our minds spin. He keeps us busy with stuff. He tells us lies. He puts these veils over us. And because we cannot see the future, we cannot see a future, we get anxious. We feel alone. We feel depressed. It's a horrible place to be. We've all been there once or twice in our lives, and some of us live in that state. There is hope. There is a promise. that is Jesus Christ. If we cling to Him and we hold on to Him and be in that place, He's going to give us the patience to endure in that tribulation. It says, tribulation is trouble, suffering, worry, anxiety, hardship, trauma, setbacks, adversity. All these things that God asked us this morning to come and lay down at His feet. And I commend those who came to the front and said, you know what, I'm laying down my stuff. Well done. Well done. Because God is faithful and true, and He gives you hope, and you will not disappoint you. Romans 5 verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Now, we've experienced some tribulation this year. I don't know where to start. I think the first and biggest lie that the devil came with, because it's most of the time these tribulations are, and I don't want to glorify the devil, not at all. And he's not all powerful, but sometimes he just messes up things. And he brings stuff our way. And when we focus on him, we lose our focus on Christ. And that's when the tribulations come. That's when Jesus, God, allows these tribulations to come. And when the tribulations come, when we are patient in that tribulation, he gives us the hope again. And it was so nice to see God come through. And there were some times this year when I completely took my focus off Christ, off His promises. Jesus said to us that I had to finish off school about 2 years ago, and I've got to come home, and I've got to work from home, and I've got to do things at home. And in the beginning of the year, I was petrified, anxious. So what did I say just earlier? Anxious is because I can't see the future. My future is Christ. So what happened? I took my eyes off God. That's me. And I became anxious. You know what the number one lie that the devil came to me with? He said, you need to provide for your family. Yes. And I believed it. Because you know what? Every good man provides for his family. Yes? No. No, it's not true. God provides. Thank you, Evan. God provides. I had to come to a place where I was down and out and realize, and my wife probably told me that you're being an idiot. She would never tell me that. She'll never tell me I'm an idiot. But she will definitely say it in words that means you're an idiot. But she's way too nice to call me that. And she's a child of God. She will never do that. But in my realization of my idiocy, believing the lie of the devil, I had to come to a place where I say, okay, Jesus, I trust you. I rely on you. I hope in you, and therefore I believe your promises. I had to, it was crazy. This is that typical upside down kingdom of Christ. It does not make sense. There was work lying on my table, a pile. And there was stuff that I had to sort, and there was church, and there was this, and there was that, and just a mountain of things, and they're all in my head. there's no space for me anymore. Just a bunch of lies from the devil. I had to go and say to myself, actually say to the devil, sorry, I'm not coming to work right now. I'm going to go to God. And the first thing I did that Monday morning, I went and I sat on the couch. And I started praying. And I started reading my Bible. And I started spending time with my wife. And you know what? I could not care about providing for my family. Because I'm pretty useless to my family when I think I have to provide. Because I mean absolutely nothing to my child when my mind's spinning and racing at 1,000 miles an hour and I'm like, nowhere. I mean nothing to my friends when I'm in that space. I can't phone Brian and tell him, Brian, you know what, this morning God told me I need to pray for you for this or that. I couldn't do that because I wasn't in that space. I couldn't be bothered about Brian. I couldn't be thinking of him. At least I phoned Rian sometimes because God really pressed it on my heart, but that was only late in the year. But you know what? You get so busy with this lie that you forget about the promise. And when you start getting anxious about things, that moment, stop. Because that's a warning sign. That is the Holy Spirit telling you, dude, stop. Stop. And do a, like, turn around and walk the other way in that moment. It doesn't matter what's coming. It doesn't matter. Nothing in this world is more important than your salvation. Somebody needs to say amen. Unless you don't believe it. Nothing, 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 nothing in this life is more important than your salvation. Is it truth? Yes, it's truth. Why? Because Jesus Christ gave his life. His life for my salvation. Is anything important more than the life of Christ? No, it's not. Nothing is more than my important than my salvation. If I am not on a path with Christ, I mean nothing to my children, nothing to my wife, nothing to this congregation, nothing to the world outside there. I'm just running a headless race without a future into anxiety, into tribulation. Even when I was preparing this sermon, I had to be patient and trust God because I got overwhelmed. I was like, okay, God, you've given me something. And now, how am I going to get this together? And I really struggled to get things on paper because my mind runs in 1,000 directions at the same time. And it's this and that and it's this and that. And I get all excited. And, oh, this is so nice, but I need to come and pray. I need to come and tell these people something. And then I get anxious. Oh. And then my wife comes and she says, give me this whole little rampy. And I go, please don't preach for me now. I said, oh, okay, I won't preach for you. I'll pray. And then I go, yes, yes. Prayer. I need prayer. And then from that tribulation, we go into prayer. And he says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. What is constant? What is a constant? Hey? never changing, never changing, constant, never changing, stable. I need to be constant in prayer. How constant are we in prayer? Oh my word. I think my friends, my soul family can see when I've been praying. I'm a different person. I can see when they've been praying, because then things happen in their lives. I get very envious of people who pray a lot, because a lot of good stuff happens to them. A lot of tribulation as well. But because they're praying, they have patience to sit through the tribulation. Because they have, what is prayer? Let's just look. I'm going to start off with why should we pray. I'm almost done. We're at the end of this recipe for the new year. Why should we pray? Because God said so. As simple as that. He said so. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what the will of God is? And you should pray constantly. There it is. That's scripture. That is 1 Thessalonians. I struggle to say that word. 5 verse 16 to 18. Okay. And then the second one there, encourage us with promises. Psalm 50 verse 15. I don't think I put that on there, but it says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. That's why we need to pray, because he will encourage us, he will. And how should we pray? If you don't know how to pray, this is how you should not do it. Matthew 6 verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So if you do pray like that, you've received your reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Go and into your room, shut your door. What does that part mean? Yes, you're right. It means you need to spend time with God alone. You need to make time. And this is another lie of the devil. You don't have time. You don't have time. If my wife and I don't communicate, it's not a nice place to be. I don't enjoy being in my house if my wife don't communicate. I want to run away. We need to communicate. We need to talk regularly. Because I love that girl. I love her a lot, and I like her too. And she's beautiful and precious to me. But if I don't talk to her, she doesn't know what's in my heart, and I don't know what's happening in her heart. And we're living two different lives. When you start living two different lives, you have two destinations. You're completely on different pages. There's a gap in between. And that gap is filled with everything that the devil can put in there to avoid you from getting to her. And that is the same with Christ. We need to spend time with Christ. We need to be in conversation with him. And there's many ways to do this. But there is a time that we need to set aside, and that's for me, set aside to spend time with him alone, so that he can give me a hope, so that I have a future, so that I don't have to be anxious about anything. And that's important. I need to spend time with him. But constant in prayer means I need to be in prayer all the time. And there were some people, I mean, I remember my father-in-law was one of those people, constant in prayer. If he was walking or sitting down, he would be praying. You think to yourself, that's not possible. It is possible. I've seen it. I've lived it. It's possible to be in constant conversation with God, to be in constant connection with God. I think this is something that guys understand quite well, is to be in the presence of someone. When men are together, I'm just going to use this example. When we go fishing, me and my friends, we go, we fish, we spend the whole day fishing. And then when I get home, my wife asks me, so what did you talk about? And I go, can you pass me the bait? Or something like that. And then, but did you enjoy it? Yes, it was wonderful. But we were in the presence of someone who understands and who was there. And we were in conversation, yes. But at that moment, we knew what the other one needs. And it's not to yap, but it's just to be there and to ask for the essentials. And sometimes, yes, we need to go through a day, but you need to know that God is with you. Whenever you feel that God is not there, you need to turn around and say, hey, where's my friend? Where is my friend? Because what has happened, you've moved away. You've lost sight. You've lost that connection. And then you need to earnestly go into a space where you can say, I'm going to shut this door now and I need to connect now. And then you need to talk. Sometimes it's a place in prayer where we just need to get quiet. We need to be quiet so that God can speak to us. But he says, and he goes on, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. I just said that. So guys, do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. But when you pray, pray like this. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then it continues. I didn't put that there. But for thine is the glory favor. Amen. Prayer is our most important way to communicate with God. And with any relationship, we cannot let this slide. I'm just going to remind us quickly of our recipe. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And if we can do this from today till next year, this time, it's going to change our community. It's going to change our relationships. It's going to change us. So I want to send you this. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.